This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. If you're a writer, especially a novelist, it's hard not to feel just a teeny bit envious of Jonathan Franzen. Back in 2001, his novel, The Corrections, became that extremely rare thing, a big, ambitious literary novel that's also a big bestseller. His latest book, Freedom, earned him more giant sales, more rapturous reviews. A Time magazine cover story headlined, Great American Novelist. It's out in paperback later this month, and if you haven't read it yet, you might be thinking, maybe even hoping, that it won't live up to the hype. But I'm afraid I can't deny it. This really is a big, smart, emotionally acute, very fine novel. So, excellence defeats envy. Jonathan Franzen, welcome back to Studio 360.
Hi, Kurt. Nice to see you again.
And you. So how did it feel, for instance, when you heard that President Obama had taken an advance copy to his vacation on Martha's Vineyard?
It felt exciting, actually. And I'm normally puzzled by people saying, aren't you excited? Aren't you excited? As if that's a good thing. I think of excitement as mostly being a negative. But that afternoon, when somebody passed the word along, I felt excited in a good way. And that had to do with my admiration of him and my feeling this is the first president, not only who's younger than me, but in my lifetime, who I've really been excited about. So it was terrific.
Are you still excited about Barack Obama?
I am. I mean, I'm excited, but I'm also sad because his loss of traction in the last 6-8 months seems to confirm a feeling that increasing numbers of my friends have, that the country has become simply ungovernable.
And irredeemable?
I don't know about irredeemable.
Certainly some of your characters would consider it irredeemable. The Corrections was, to summarize grotesquely, about a dysfunctional Midwestern family. Freedom is about a dysfunctional Midwestern family.
Can I interrupt and just quibble
no.
with the word dysfunctional?
Sure. Well, a problematic.
An interesting Midwestern family, right?
Definitely. But given that after The Corrections, interesting, problematic Midwestern family, did you have any pause about sort of plowing what looked like the same territory?
All four of my novels have had families that in some way are Midwestern in them. It's the story I have to tell, and the family is just so charged with meaning for me that I can't get away from it. And to speak quickly of my favorite North American writer, you look at Alice Munro, and she's writing the same story over and over again all her life, and her genius is to tell that story in a new way that you feel you've never read before, decade after decade.
I'd love you to read a little bit from Freedom to give the readers a sense of...
I'm taking the book across the little table.
And if you can just sort of set up where we are.
We're in the middle of that overture chapter, the first chapter. The chapter is narrated from the point of view of some neighbors, the Paulsons.
And we're in St. Paul.
We're
in
St. Paul
80s.
In the 80s. The kind of, you know, the sort of Zinfandel and NPR 80s. So I'll start. To Seth Paulson, who talked about Patty a little too often for his wife's taste, the Berglunds were the super guilty sort of liberals who needed to forgive everybody so that their own good fortune could be forgiven, who lacked the courage of their privilege. One problem with Seth's theory was that the Berglunds weren't all that privileged. Their only known asset was their house, which they'd rebuilt with their own hands. Another problem, as Mary Paulson pointed out, was that Patty was no great progressive and certainly no feminist, staying home with her birthday calendar, baking those goddamn birthday cookies, and seemed altogether allergic to politics. If you mentioned an election or a candidate to her, you could see her struggling and failing to be her usual cheerful self, see her becoming agitated and doing too much nodding, too much yah-yahing. Mary, who was 10 years older than Patty and looked every year of it, had formerly been active with the SDS in Madison and was now very active in the craze for Beaujolais Nouveau. When Seth at a dinner party mentioned Patty for the third or fourth time, Mary went nouveau red in the face and declared that there was no larger consciousness, no solidarity, no political substance, no fungible structure, no true communitarianism in Patty Berglund's supposed neighborliness. It was all just regressive, housewifely bullshit. And frankly, in Mary's opinion, if you were to scratch below the nicey-nice surface, you might be surprised to find something rather hard and selfish and competitive and Reaganite in Patty. It was obvious that the only things that mattered to her were her children and her home, not her neighbors, not the poor, not her country, not her parents, not even her own husband.
That's Jonathan Franzen reading from his new novel, Freedom. If Patty had had a serious career, would it all have worked out differently for her, better?
She thinks maybe it would have. Without a career, she becomes, one could say, overly focused on her children, particularly her son. And that's one of the things at the center of the book that I was trying to access from my own life and had found no direct way to write about. And one of the reasons it took so long to write this book was I had to develop this entire parallel world into which to pour my own experience, because I couldn't write about what was really going on with me in the 60s and 70s. It was just couldn't go there.
Is your mother still alive?
My mom's not. She's still alive in some way. She's alive in me. I feel strains in my own character that correspond identically to strains in hers. And so there are times when I feel my mom is saying something and not I.
As you say, you write a lot about these relationships between parents and children, and especially Patty Berglund and her son. You don't have children.
I do not have children.
Was that a challenge consciously of accessing that kind of unconditionalism that presumably you haven't experienced?
It was not the big challenge, certainly. I think the intense, almost morbid sense of identification I have with my own parents, particularly since they died, and the late dawning realization of what great parents they were, that was probably my primary conduit to the experience of having children. It was through my own parents, oddly.
There was a piece in the New York Times last year saying all significant fiction writers of your generation, including you, are too ambivalent about depicting lusty sex. Seems to me, among other things, this book is an answer to that charge in your case.
I remember that piece. I didn't read it, but there was a bar chart on the cover of the Times Book Review, and I was very happy to find myself in the middle. You know, more sex than writers a little younger than me, not as hyper.
But no Roth or Mailer.
Right, exactly. Not quite the same.
But there's plenty of sex in this. There's a lot of hotness in this book.
It's, you know, there's a lot of sex in dreams, and you put yourself into that dream state to do the writing, and sex comes along. It's really as simple as that.
Now, what about birds? I know you've written about environmental catastrophes around the world, and I know you are a bird hobbyist. But in this book, Walter's involvement with saving a bird, to me, is depicted as a somewhat ridiculously quixotic exercise. Did you mean it to be that?
Let me say right here that there's a bird on the cover of the American version. Someone made my day the other day by saying they hadn't noticed the bird because it's in such extreme close-up. But I resisted having that bird there because I thought, oh, my God, that's going to send the message environmental novel. And the last thing I feel like reading is a straightforward environmental novel because it's the news is bad. Great. Can't wait to read it. And we know what's right and we know what's wrong. Well, that sounds like a interestingly complex moral landscape.
And do house cats really kill a million songbirds a day, as you say in this book?
Minimum.
Really?
Minimum.
I felt bad about my cats, my two cats.
Cats should be indoors.
So Walter says, and I guess Jonathan Franzen says as well.
Yes, there are some substantial areas of overlap, particularly on the subject of keeping cats indoors.
Now, if you had to look at your success, and it is large, and attribute a portion to your talent and a portion to your hard work and a portion to luck, how would that break out?
Wow, that's a hard question to answer, period, and an even harder one to answer without sounding like a jerk somehow. But if I were to speak in the third person, you know, I'd say, you know, Jonathan Franzen was lucky to have really great parents, although he didn't think so for a long time. And he was lucky and always knew it to have a couple of great brothers. And, you know, good health and born at a prosperous time in the most powerful country on earth, and had some very good luck finding the right agent and editor, and it goes on and on and on. And even the ability to work hard, to do something that is satisfying, if not always happy-making, and that's what writing is for me, it doesn't even feel like work. I guess that's a long way of saying I think it's all luck.
Did you have other titles, or was freedom it from the beginning?
Not from the beginning, but I had to slap a title on the proposal I sold several publishers 3.5 years ago. And I was in a state of pique about the misuse and the misappropriation of the word freedom in the political sphere in the middle of the last decade. And in a kind of defiant spirit, just slapped it on the proposal and then could not bear to speak the title aloud to anyone until I was finished with the book. It was something to write toward. And now I can actually say it. The book is called Freedom. And it's a pompous word, especially if you don't hear all of the irony in which it's meant to be bathed.
If you were all about being a shrewd marketer, it seems like publishing a book, a great big novel, only every 9 years is really working for you. Do you feel like the next one will be sooner or most of another decade?
I don't know. I don't. There's so little time to read. I don't want to claim the reader's attention until I have something new to say. And I at least don't come up with new things to say every 18 months.
Jonathan Franzen, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
The novelist Jonathan Franzen. I spoke to him last fall. His novel Freedom is out in paperback later this month.